Welcome to the R7 podcast, sponsored by M is Good. R7 is an innovative, God-inspiring process that explores personal and professional purpose. R7 analyzes seven strategies to transform your vision and find direction in your organizational marketing. R7 establishes clarity and guidance for the gift we call life.
Bennett,
what's up, man?
The podcast this week. We are having some awesome time with technical challenges today, but we are here. Praise God. Today we're talking about communication.
We're applying rigor and to the technical challenges. Applying the rigor.
We're rigorous, man. No technical challenges are getting in our way, dog.
Rigor, baby.
So I'm excited to talk to you about communication today and how we navigate our brand through communication. I'm also excited to talk to you about you've got a big vision and a little bitty budget. In fact, I want to make an announcement today.
Okay.
And you haven't heard this.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, I'm starting up
a hair vision growth serum.
Maybe. I would definitely be a great candidate for that. That and the poster child for birth control. I would rock that. Endorsement
money. All right, I'll be good. I'll be quiet. I'm sorry. I'll sit back.
I want you to join me in, and so you can't say no since we're recording this. I want to for you to join me in a vision roundtable.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Nice.
So nice. We would have seven executives from around the world. We'll see what happens. Where we would meet twice a month. Sorry, not twice a month, twice a year at a fun location where we would play golf for the weekend and have a roundtable discussion, multiple roundtable discussions. And I'm also thinking about having somebody in that room who would be mentored by these seven hosses and what they've learned, what they've gained, what the mistakes they've made, and really mentor this man or woman of God that could take that knowledge and go build a ginormous brand.
That would be life-changing. Can you imagine? Hold on. Can you imagine, like, I don't know, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, if you would have been in the room with a whole bunch of people who have done it, who understand vision and all the things that go with it, and were able to grow something substantial and to sit there with them and ask all the questions and listen.
Yeah. Have seven mentors in your life that could walk you down the path. So yeah, it'd be a fun place that we would go and twice a year. And we just, you know, we see what happens. I would definitely have an agenda of, you know, like the vision, what is it, where are we going, yep. You know, the brand, how are we communicating it, what are you doing, what, you know, like you just, like whoever this candidate would be would expose himself, you know, to us, and, you know, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, and just open themselves up and say, here's my brand, and just crush me. Now, there are other organizations that do this. I know, like C12. And is there Vista that does this where it's like a monthly fee and you go do it, you know, you go kind of, you know, amongst other business owners, but you're kind of in it together. So
is this almost like a Shark Tank for Jesus?
Is it for Jesus?
I hope so.
Jesus, man, what are you talking about?
It's almost like a Shark Tank, but you get everybody instead of just one person.
Yeah.
Right? Because you got to talk about what, you know, here's what I'm trying to do. Here's what I feel the calling is and my call to action and what I want to be able to pull off. And I need all of you other seven people to cheer me on, pour into me, and help me get it going. I mean,
I think it would be powerful for the people, yeah. the seven mentors, but also the person who's being mentored. I think it would be
for sure.
Incredibly powerful. So
for sure. I can't imagine being in that room and learning from all kinds of people and you. It would be amazing, man. Yeah. I like your idea a lot.
You like the idea?
Yeah, I do. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah. So we'll just TBD that for now. I want to, you know, come out of this and just sort of build on it and look at what we could do. I have some places where we could go. It'd be definitely a fun golfing, you know, experience. You know, so but let's kind of turn here. We know we got limited time today, so it's going to be a short podcast, but I really want to talk about communication, something that's been on my heart the last couple of weeks, gross impressions, working with executives, men and women of God from around the country, you know, 12 to 15 meetings a week, big brands, small brands, organizations that are spending a lot of money and organizations spend a little bit of money. What's the difference? And so I want to open up the discussion today and talk about, you know, gross impressions. I want to talk about, you know, we're heading into an election. I think we're like 78 days to the election and how we are being bombarded with massive impressions to get your vote right now. And, you know, and your brand competing amongst all this noise is really, really tough. And so how do you cut through the noise? Do you even get in the line to cut through the noise? You know, what are your thoughts here?
Well, okay. First of all, to cut through the noise, you know, the temptation is there, isn't it? It's gotta be there at least a little bit where your brand or you and your brand are like, hey, if I give at least a little bit of a political leaning message, I'll get a portion of people. But then the problem is you ignore everybody else. I mean, we saw how bad that went with Bud Light, right? We've talked about that, I think, a few podcasts ago.
Yeah.
So you kind of got to stay out of the political wrestling match, tug of war, don't you?
Well, I mean, from a spending perspective, it's really hard unless your messaging isn't on point, you know, to break through that noise. I mean, it is loud and it's consistent and it's, you know, it's a lot of craziness. A lot of emotion is behind this election than any other election, I think. They always say the next election is the most important election, but you know, I just think about your brand and it just doesn't have the power, the financial power to compete. So I would say hold fast. You know, my advice is, you know, pull it back because the conversion is going to be weak or not there at all at this particular juncture. And then coming out November 6th, I think it is, or I'm not sure when we vote, but you know, that first week in November, you know, then kick it up after the election. You have a better chance.
You think you give it like a week and then you kick it up hard going into the holidays, huh?
Going to holidays, you know, and then, you know, right around December 15th, depending on your services, you know, like your product goods or services, you know, what you're doing, you know, like, you know, you go up to December 15th and say, this is the last day to guarantee shipping for Christmas. And then after Christmas, you hit it hard again because the Christmas noise is strong too.
So in today's culture and environment, you know, I would love to know what you think about this. What gets the most attention from a communication standpoint? You know, we've talked before about limbic system, we've talked about narrative and the power of story. You know, when we think about it today, as we're kind of rolling into the fall here in 2024, like, what do you see from the seat you sit in, because you do this every day, that gets the most attention?
Well, right now, what gets most attention is DT, Donald Trump. He's getting the most attention. So anything inflammatory that he is saying is getting attention. On the Democratic side, you know, what's getting attention is the silence. Like they want interviews from Kamala. You know, they're not getting it. So them being silenced is not good. So to be able to compete in front of that is really tough. You know, I think from a product standpoint, you know, TikTok seems to be getting a lot of momentum right now, the TikTok shop. So, you know, those quick videos and that quick, you know, purchase on the TikTok shop is definitely gaining. But, you know, there's also Amazon. You know, Amazon is always crushing it when it comes to consumers buying. That's all bottom of the funnel. So top of the funnel awareness, you know, and education and fun is really doing well when it comes to conversion.
So, okay, I have a question because, again, we've talked about this before too. So Donald Trump, make America great again.
Mm-hmm.
Is Kamala Harris's campaign slogan vision really like, what is it? Let's get this. Let's win this. I think it's, yeah, let's win this. Like, are you serious right now? Is there vision in let's win this?
No. There's not. In fact, there was some rumblings. I haven't seen it, but there were some rumblings when Obama spoke. You know, his vision was change. Yes, we can. And that rallied the nation, perhaps the world. And then when he just spoke at the DNC, they were trying to kind of change that hope, like take his hope and say, like we can win, like we're winning, and kind of spin that in a way to kind of catch some momentum. I don't think it worked. It goes back to me for if we're talking about vision here, you know, like it goes back to Hillary and I'm with her, you know, which was a big fat loser. And then I think there's definitely a debate on, you know, Biden's last run, you know, build back better, you know, and then he just went in the closet. He just went in the basement and hid. Did he win? You know, I think that's definitely debatable. I mean, you know, when Obama rallied the nation, I think the numbers were about 85 million votes.
That's crazy.
And, you know, Trump got 85 million and then they were trying to say that everybody loves Joe more than, you know, we're talking about the popular vote now, but he got more votes, popular votes than Donald Trump. I don't think so, man. Like that's hard for me to get my mind wrapped around. I know there's been a lot of talk about cheating and all that, but like, it's just tough to think that he hid in the basement and got more votes.
Yeah. The other one she's got out there is when we fight, we win.
Yeah. But what are we fighting for?
Well, and that's just it. When you think about, and you can argue, anybody, you know, if you're listening, yeah, make comments. We can argue. You can argue. That's fine. But what happened January 6th of inauguration year, you know, what happened at the Capitol, you know, there was violence there and you can, there's a lot of people you can blame in that, but I'm going, do we really want when we fight, we win, especially after former president gets clipped in the ear by a bullet? And now I know he said back, fight, 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 but still, I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, if we're looking at it from a pure messaging standpoint and communication, I still think Make America Great Again is fantastic. And I think Obama's was good too.
Yeah.
Super powerful.
I guess from the organizational leaders that are listening to this podcast, you know, when you don't have a big brand, how do you cut through the noise? And when do you when you slow it down, when do you speed it up? And so, you know, I just want to encourage those out there that do really have a vision from the Lord and are going after it, that to stay the course. You know, right now is a particular phase. Or time frame, I should say, where there's a lot of noise, man. And for you to compete financially in that space is really tough. And so I would say slow it down. Don't quit. You know, stay the course, but don't expect results in the next 80 days like you would normally. Now, we've got other brands that are non-political, right, that are cutting through, that don't have a different, you know, like who wins is really not... is not contingent upon their success.
Yeah.
So those brands are able to cut through that noise. And it's actually a breath of fresh air because everybody else is trying to compete with it.
Yeah. Do you, you know, when you think about communication, you've got, you know, planned, you know, planned and targeted ads, if you want, planned and targeted ads from a social media standpoint.
Yeah.
And you have more of the kind of ad hoc knee jerk X posts or Twitter posts, formerly Twitter, mm-hmm. right? Posts. So if someone's listening and they're trying to figure out, hey, sometimes I just want to put something out there. Or sometimes, you know, I want to do it something that's a little more planned, or, hey, organization, maybe you don't do as many planned communications as you should, what's the best mix between kind of ad hoc plan? Should they be planning? How far out should they be planning? Like, what is that? I mean, we're getting into nuts and bolts of what I think your organization does, but it's a really important part. And I remember going through R7 on my own on this with you too, is like the communication piece is a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think what's most important is that, sorry, I feel like I have to sneeze here.
I think this is how you know it's live.
Yeah. What's important is everything's connected. So, you know, we have top of the funnel, middle of the funnel, bottom of the funnel. And so understanding your top of the funnel ads, your middle of the funnel conversion, your bottom of the funnel conversion. But the most important to all that is everything's connected. And so that you can see where people are getting stuck. That's the most important thing. And so, you know, when you look at Facebook, it's top of the funnel. You're looking to break the skull. Google is very much bottom of the funnel. People, it's intentional search. So they're searching for something. In Facebook, you're not really searching. TikTok, you're not really searching. Some people are using it as a search, but it's not there yet. And so, you know, when you think about your brand and, you know, whether you're doing a posted ad or planned ad, you know, you got to make sure that everything is connected. So I hear at least once a week, well, we tried that. It didn't work. And I would say, yeah, but I see your stuff now. It's not connected. And your messaging isn't on point. And so I'm glad you actually brought this up because Donald Miller came out with this messaging years ago. And it's something that we follow very closely here. And I think it's absolutely amazing. You know, it's the theory that your organization, you, David Bennett, are not the hero, right? The client, the donor, the first time guest, they are the hero. David Bennett, you are the guide. So we are guiding our first time guests, our donors, our customers, our clients through a process. And as you build your process, you want to create a VIP experience. And so I'm really glad this came up because there's so many things that I look at nowadays that it's so sad that it's not a VIP experience. It's an awful experience. And this to me is poor leadership. This is poor vision. This is poor execution. When you're not creating a VIP experience for your client, donor, first-time guest, customer, you are leading them down a road to vote for their feet or vote with their wallet where they are going to leave, just like David Bennett did just now. He left because, because it was not an experience. No. So, yeah, so you want to, as an executive, as an organizational leader, really want to think down to the most granular part of your organization and what is that experience? Undercover Boss is a great example of this, is that they don't ever come down and understand, okay, what is it that we're delivering on? We say at the top we're going to deliver, but what is it we're actually delivering on? And so this is where your digital marketing has to be on point, your experience, your product's got to be on point. And if it's not, it's not. You know, it's not really that hard to tell that it's not.
Can I share a story?
Yeah.
Okay. So this last spring, I was with a couple of my boys and we went to go grab a sub at Firehouse Subs.
Okay.
Corporate headquarters, Jacksonville, Florida. Just put that out there.
Okay.
And so, you know, whenever you're close to a corporate headquarters, they're going to test and try things there. So like if you're in Atlanta, you're going to get first dibs on Chick-fil-A stuff. Firehouse Subs, Jacksonville. So we're sitting there. We walk in and we realize that they've followed what everybody else has done to better control costs in terms of labor. And they've got the big screen there and you got to order your own stuff and pay for it right there. So you don't ever have to talk to a human. Okay. And I'm like, I know McDonald's has gone that route. Taco Bell has gone that route. But I was like, Firehouse, really? Okay. So we order our stuff. We're sitting down eating and this older gentleman comes in and he's like, he tries to order, and the person's like, no, you got to order on the screen. He's like, I don't want to order on the screen. He's like, here, I'll come beside you and help you order on the screen. He's like, I'm not ordering on the screen. And the kid's like, no, it's okay. Like, you just tell me what you want. We can do this together. And he's like, no. He's like, this is horrible service. I used to come here all the time. I don't know who thought up this idea, but this is horrible. I'm not ordering on here. He goes, I will order from you. He's like, no, we got to put it on the screen. The kid keeps going, you got to put it on the screen. And I'm sitting there thinking, dude, just take his order and pop it in there. And he's like, no. So he just gets more and more upset till finally he just stomps out and leaves. And I sat there and I'm like, man, you know, where is the point we get to where it's too much automation, too much everything else that you actually lose the customer to begin with?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great example. I love it. But there's also a point where how much automation do you not have where people are experiencing automation?
Yep.
That your process isn't automated and it's frustrating.
Exactly. I mean, and for, you know, I know we have a lot of pastors that listen. I mean, church check-in, that's how it happens, right? You're checking your kid in,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's a kiosk there normally. You got to check your kid in, print the sticker, put it on you, put it on them, and you go. But they normally will have a volunteer there in case you're running into issues or whatever to help you get through that, you know, and there's your automation, but still with a personal touch as well. So it's interesting. It's interesting how I think, you know, when you consider the cost of whether it's doing business or, you know, the cost of running a church or whatever it is, mm-hmm. and you're going to try to add efficiency and technology, which isn't a bad thing. You got to bounce that against what's going to be the end result to my customers, attenders, or whatever.
Yeah.
And do they have the ability to handle it?
And how quickly do you introduce it is another part of it. So, and I think the best way to understand that is to ask your clients, customers, first-time guests, you know, donors, you know, ask them. Like, that's the best way to learn.
Yep.
And be ready to change, be open to change, because that's also frustrating too, where you get all the feedback and go, but I don't want to do that.
Yeah. And you've helped run surveys in the mm-hmm. past for churches. Oh, yeah. You know, one of the things that I've seen large churches do that not a lot do, but some large churches have done, is they literally do focus groups, and they do focus groups around different topics. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, that gives you that face-to-face where people understand that you care about the direction or the decision or whatever it is you're trying to do.
Yeah, that's good. All right. This can be a quick podcast today. I do want to leave our viewers with this idea. Okay. So one, if you're interested in the Vision Roundtable, let me know. I would love to know if you're listening out there and go, I want to know more information. And so you're officially in, right? You're in, Dave.
And I'm sure you're going to add some amazing, since we're talking about communication, some amazing name for this Vision Roundtable.
Yes, I am. I am. Like the R7 Vision Roundtable.
Because, like, there are other names out there that have already been taken, like Assassin's Creed. No, you can't do that, bro.
Yeah. It might just be the R7 Roundtable. We'll see. But I want to encourage those that are listening out there that when we're talking about gross impressions and being in the market, it takes 17 gross impressions for a male to make a buying decision. Okay. And it takes 15 impressions for a female to make a buying decision. So when you look at your marketing and you look at the amount of impressions that you're pushing out, you know, in a given time, you can create those 17 impressions or 15 impressions in a month, in a year, in 2 years. And so with all the noise out there, with all the big dogs right now trying to get your vote and other organizations trying to compete for your toilet paper, toothpaste, mouthwash, deodorant, cat food, cat litter, cars, whatever it is, you know, that algorithm is building for you now. You know, TikTok has ruined that for us, and Facebook and Google. The algorithm is building to serve up what you want, and it takes about 17 to 15 impressions, you know, depending on your gender, of where you're at, for you to make a buying decision. So as an organizational leader, you know, small or large, when you're launching a new product or trying to launch your org, you know, you have to be patient. And, you know, I want to give this example real quick. You know, I recently joined a different golf club, and, you know, being a new guy at a golf club where there's guys that have been there for 15 to 20 years, you know, like, and the new guy walks in, it takes some time for those older guys to get accustomed, used to, familiar with the new guy.
That's right.
And you can't go in there the life of the party. You got to be at the party, but not a life of the party. And so this is where, like, when you're talking about branding, it's the same thing. If you go in trailblazing and kicking butt with your brand and being the life of the party, it's just not going to last long, you know, because there are other products, goods, and services that have been there for years that are going to clobber you. And so you got to make sure that, you know, when you're at the party, that you have a good service, that there is a VIP experience, that your product is top notch, and you can compete with those other guys. You know, I see your wheels turning.
Well, the thing is, you know how it is. Someone sees an outlier, somebody that made a huge splash right out of the gate, like Prime is a great example,
mm-hmm.
right? Prime energy drink, Prime sports drink, has to compete with Gatorade, Powerade, and Prime came in out of nowhere and just took market share immediately because of Jake Paul. That's not going to happen every time. Not at all. Think about how many coffee shops have opened after Starbucks that didn't make it.
Yeah.
So you're right. I mean, you've got to be in it for the long haul, celebrate the wins as they come, and stay focused.
Thanks again for joining us. I want to give special thanks to our sponsor, M is Good. Want to learn more about M is Good? Go to misgood.com. Join us again next week as we continue to uncover the secrets to success with faith-based testimonies and the power of R7. Remember, destiny awaits, but time does not.